Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and whatever time it is in another country, I have no idea, but I'll look it up. Welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. And just letting you know, we got two new shows, okay? We're working on it. But we do have two new shows that are going to be starting up the first of the month. Right around the first of the month, first couple of weeks. So we're just getting everybody ready, geared up, making sure they understand the board, you know, how to upload, download, whatever they have to do in order to make their show successful. So I'm very excited and looking forward to it. And by the way, today is 8/26/2023. And here in Atlanta, Georgia, as I always say, it is hot. I mean, seriously, this is probably the hottest day of the year, according to the local news here in Georgia. And, you know, it's kind of funny when folks try to compare global warming to climate change. I think there's a little bit of both. I'm definitely sure that there is climate change. We look at what's happening. There's, look at the temperatures that are hitting all over the country, record temperatures, since they started recording temperatures. Think about that. Record temperatures since they started recording to be climate change, okay? All right. I'm no scientist, but I'm not a meteorologist, but it has to be, at least in my mind, there has to be some kind of connection to the whole thing. Some people are still in doubt. So, but as they sweat like you and I do, maybe it will sweat the truth out of them. Okay. But today we have a lot to talk about, a lot of things that have been happening recently. So I'm giving time for everybody. Come on in, come on in, come on in, come on in. For you folks in the chat room, you folks who are listening on the World Wide Web, appreciate you. And my co-hosts, where are they at? Okay, let me see. Okay, I know Janet said that she's going to be a little bit late. I'm looking for timing. But, okay, so, wow, here in Atlanta, we had a lot of excitement because 19 people were ordered, including Donald Trump, to come to Georgia and get fingerprinted, get your mugshot done, you know. Yeah, 19 people were invited. Well, maybe I shouldn't say invited. They were told, you better get your ass to Georgia before 12 noon on Friday. Otherwise, there would be some warrants put out, right? And this is interesting because I'm going to get to the interesting part of it, is that 19 people, right, ordered to come to Georgia before 12 noon Friday. And they all made it on time, okay, before the deadline. They all made it. And I was wondering, is somebody really going to take this to the limit, you know, just like the song, take it to the limit one more time. But nope, they were smart enough to know that this is no game, all right? So we're going to get into this whole thing because it was really interesting here, the local news and how it was covered here. I don't know what you guys got on your end as far as the whole week event, because it was really an event here in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. So let me go ahead and open up the mic for co-host out west. You know, I mean, that's my home, California. But here he is. He always says, Mike, there you go again, Mike. You open up a can of worms, Mike. There you go. Here's Mr. Time and Shield. Hey, Mike, Tommy, what's up, doing? My brother?
All right.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Up there in paradise. There you go. Yeah, well, I was just sharing how, you know, it was just a great event here for the past week here up until the deadline. What was your take on the whole thing? I mean, I really thought that somebody is going to fight it to the end and not show up on time.
No, Mike, that's not going to happen. They need to understand, you know, it's getting ready to get real ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready to get real ugly, brother. Because, as they say, get your popcorn ready. Because they're going to try to y'all getting ready to have some problems because homeboy is going to lock. Fani is about to stick her foot in the ass, and they want to shut this thing down. They're going to try to get rid of her in October. I know that you know that in October they have filed a new law that was passed to get rid of the attorney generals there. Not attorney general. District attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's the AD.
Correct.
So there's a law that's been passed.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
What'd you say? No, she is the AD.
There's a law been passed there.
Legal in charge, right.
Yeah, and they want to remove her. Yeah, and Kemp knows this. And Kemp is going to enforce that because Kemp lied. Kemp sat up and said that he would not follow Trump, but he doesn't. He knows that somebody has been contacting him and wants him to get rid of Fani because if Fani is able to finish the job, all the motherfuckers are going to jail. And all of them
are going to jail. Okay, so hold that thought because let me bring in the lady of the house. I want to get all the co-hosts and then I want you to go ahead and continue, okay? Seriously, because that is interesting. I wasn't aware of that whole thing. And see, I know that she wants to get this done expeditiously. Sydney, whatever her name is, she wants to get this done as quickly as possible herself, All right, so let me go ahead and open up the lady of the house. She's got her hand up. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Janet Polly Hawkins Davis.
Hey, everybody. Sorry for the delay, but I'm here. Better late than never.
Well, they say
good
that. Okay. So Tommy was sharing something right off the bat about where they're trying to get her removed by October.
Yes. Yes.
Tommy, go ahead and finish up what you were sharing. Go ahead and continue.
Janet, you remember that law that was passed
in
Atlanta that they would be able to remove the AD to get her taken out. And don't think for a second that they know that even because remember, she's been working on this case for 2.5 years. She's got all the evidence. They already know that if this goes through, they are done. The Republican Party is going to go down. Now, the 19 people, Mike, that you see that's on there, remember, she did the case for that rapper who had 28 people that had got indicted.
That's right.
But she whittled it down to 8. She's going to whittle these fools down. She's going to whittle them down, too. All of them going to start turning on each other. That's why they got their cases done. So when they start snitching on each other, okay, and they're all going to drop dime on Trump. But don't nobody want to go to jail because guess what? You can't be pardoned. There's no pardon. This is a state case. So everything has to go through. So what they're going to do, they're going to try to remove her so she can't finish what she started.
Correct.
So that's what
I agree with that. All right, so hold us tight, everybody. Hold that thought because there's another hand that's waving. I want to get everybody into this conversation and we can continue. I got a hand waving here. We always got to have the law here now. Just like Donald Trump, we have to have our Secret Service. Okay? So I'm bringing in Officer Crenshaw. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Janet.
Crenshaw.
Hey, Tymon.
How are you? I'm Crenshaw.
I'm good. I'm sitting here listening. And, Tymon, you're right. They did pass that. They expedited that law that they just brought into effect and passed.
Ain't
and it takes
shit.
Effect. Yeah. Actually,
it's supposed to be in effect in 8 weeks.
Right. So September the 14th, they can start filing motions to have her removed, but she also has the right to appeal that removal up to the Supreme Court, Georgia State Supreme Court. And based on what she's already got so far and the 19 people, like Tymon said, they're going to be flipping like hotcakes.
Correct.
Well, see, now that's interesting, and Janet, I want you to just hold tight for a minute, and I want you to respond to that, because that's interesting. Wouldn't it be an issue for them to go ahead and try to do that? And then, of course, like you just said, Crenshaw, she could take that to the Georgia Supreme Court. The Georgia Supreme Court would look stupid to not take her side, right? Because here's the thing of where – She's handling a case here. She's got the evidence and everything. They've been booked. They've been processed. And they know that it will be dead in the water. Don't you think that the Georgia Supreme Court will definitely, if it goes that far, will definitely make a mistake to not take up her side on this?
Well, they won't be taking a side on it. They'll be looking at all the facts, just like they did with all the lawsuits. The lawsuits that Trump brought forth, everything that they put in front of them so far have been rejected. So with the totality of circumstances involving the evidence, Kempnem wouldn't really stand a chance except for delay. It would create a delay.
Right, which that's what Trump's attorneys, in fact, you guys know that he did that flip, just the day before he came here, or that same day, actually. But still it doesn't make the case dead that it would have to still be followed through by another individual. Let's say, for instance, they do succeed in doing what they're doing, right, and get her removed. Somebody would have to step in place to finish or continue these cases, correct?
Yeah, but if it's one of his people, if it's somebody that they know is a Trumper, then it's, you know, it's a moot point.
Well, they don't know.
She has crossed her T's and dotted her I's and have worked on this case for a long time. And she probably already knows that they're going to try and find something wrong, but she has not done anything wrong. You know, so if it goes to court and they see that she didn't do anything wrong, they can't just throw that out. They got to find something wrong that she has done.
Well, it's supposedly.
But my point is this. But my question is this, and I want to go to Crenshaw. My point is this: these individuals. 18 plus the president makes 19, the former president, I should say. I hate when they say President Donald Trump. I always say, you ought to say former president, you know. But what I'm saying is that the 18 plus former president Donald Trump have been indicted. They have been charged. They all had to come here to Georgia, right, fingerprint, mugshots and everything. You can't just all of a sudden say, well, just because we went after her, it's all squashed. These individuals are still under indictment, and they still have to be tried, correct? So who takes over if they succeed in what they're trying to do of removing
her? They're not,
who takes over?
They're not sure. They're not sure right now if it will be someone appointed by Kemp or second or third in charge within the district attorney's office to step up and take over the case.
Okay.
When they passed that new law, they didn't take those different things into consideration. So that hasn't been listed yet. That hasn't been listed yet. So more than likely, it'll be her second or third in charge that would step up. You know, unless they file a motion saying that
somebody's in charge.
Hold on, Janet. I can't hear him. Say that one more time.
Right. Unless they file a motion stating that they were part of the reason why she's being removed, then they won't be able to step up, and he will get the opportunity to appoint someone.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's their whole game point. From the time they passed that law, Kemp know what was going on. Why did he put that sign that into law? If he wasn't trying to help Donald Trump.
Well, Kemp was pressured by the other Republican legislators to do that. But Kemp don't like Trump. He's still for the Republican Party, but he don't like Trump.
Right. And see, to understand in part,
all they were trying to do was follow suit with what Ron DeSantis did down in Florida, with the two people that he relieved of duty.
That's right.
To make it seem
right.
Like the Republicans have the final say-so no matter what. Look at what they just did in Tennessee as far as their town hall meetings. They don't care how much you cry, we're still going to be in charge is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now,
and
what
this
I
is nothing but the
1950s. When the question was asked, no, I'm sorry, but go ahead, Tommy.
No, what I was going to say is this is just like the 1950s. You're trying to find a way to block people from what the people truly want, but you're trying to control something that just because you don't like it because it doesn't fit your deal, the people have the final say. The people put Fannie Willis, she was put in office, she's filed a case. The people who went against, who found Trump guilty were all Republicans. Everybody that did the counts were all Republicans. They weren't Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
right.
She followed everything to the letter. What they don't like is the fact that if they lose this, Mike, if they lose, they know that the Republican Party is going to not only lose the Senate, they're going to lose the Congress,
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. What is that?
The house.
That's right.
The house.
All the, they're going to lose all
yeah, you, I mean, just, I mean, you can go down the list and everything. Now, this is what I found interesting in one debate recently. I'm sure some of you guys, either you watched it or you saw clips of it. But when they were asked, all the individuals, this to me, this is comical and it's mind-boggling. Some of them have so much negative to say about Donald Trump and saying, hey, we need to move on, forget about this personal stuff, you know, and everything. We need to talk about what America needs and this and the other. But when they were asked, if Donald Trump is the pick individual, would you support him? Just about everybody raised their hand. Correct?
Except
yes.
for Christie and others.
So, right, except for Christie and one other individual. And that
Lisa
right there got me because I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are saying all this stuff about, you know, forget about, you know, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. But what that tells me is that we're – so you would – support Donald Trump by any means possible in order to, by any means possible, to be in the White House. You don't care if this guy is indicted. You don't care if this guy is has four damn indictments, over 90 charges, but you'll support him.
Can
Why
I say something?
Else ready to say if you had a choice. Let me let Janet go because she did say, can she say something? So go ahead, Janet.
Just a little short thing. They know because of the Constitution and that if Trump gets back in office, it's all going to go away. And they know this. So they show just how much they care about democracy and our Constitution. You know?
Okay.
They don't care. They're willing to throw it all away. That's all I have to say.
Plus, they have a lawyer down in Florida right now who just filed a lawsuit basically stating that Trump's not eligible to hold office anymore because he disavowed the Constitution as well as some of the other things that he did, and that they're also going to look at, and this is something, my personal opinion, if he's convicted, he forfeit his right as a former president for the entitlement and the benefit of Secret Service. They need to strip him of that. Because one of the indictments is for espionage. If they can prove the espionage, they're pretty much going to be able to prove treason as far as him showing military secrets to other people and whoever else. They might not be able to prove it was to a foreign country, Russia, China, but if he's showing them to his butt buddies, who else is he showing them to?
You know, that's interesting that you brought that up. I didn't think about bringing that up, but here's the thing. That was recorded. Who the hell was recording that shit and then made it, you know, available? You got to think about it now. These are his friends that he's sitting here, right? His close, you know, comrades and things that never crossed, or I never heard anybody bring that up. And like, well, who recorded it, and how
the
did it get to
who
the media?
Recorded it, Mike. The people.
One
who
of the women
it.
In the office.
Hold
was,
on, one at a time. One at a time. I'm sorry. Hold on. Tommy was speaking at first, but let him finish.
Well, Janet, you know this. The people who recorded it was the people that were Mark Meadows' people who were writing a book for Mark Meadows.
Thank
They're
you.
The ones that recorded it.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's the thing is that he started, and I just wanted him to finish out now. Your response to that, or you have something
well,
to add
that's what
to that, Janet?
That's what I was going to say. It was the people that the lady and the other one that was in the office at the time when he showed them that document. But I want to make one other point. Before Trump left office, he owed a lot of money to a lot of foreign country oligarchs. I mean, presidents or whatever you want to call them. You know they don't never say anything about all that money he owed. That's why he was trying to stay in the White House because he is all those loans were coming due. I actually believe this person, our ex-president, gave some information up because you don't hear nothing else about it. And I've been researching, following, trying to figure out if anybody's saying anything. Nobody says anything about that money that Trump owes. He owed a lot of money.
Why do you
okay,
think
so
Mark Meadows was the first one? Why do you think mm-hmm. Mark Meadows was the first one after finding out he was indicted to run and try to get it moved? Because he's
yeah.
already working out something
yeah.
with the Fed.
Yeah.
And it didn't cover, just like they snatched Hunter Biden's deal back because it didn't cover things down the road. His deal with the Feds didn't cover Fannie Willis.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels if he can
well,
get
here,
it moved
well,
over there,
he
can get favorable truth.
Okay, so here's something I kind of want to, because, you know, when we get into these conversations, before you know it, because we have a lot of other things we want to talk about, but the thing is that where I want to hit some certain points. The Hunter Biden thing, I like the fact that President Biden is like,
yeah.
hey, you know what, I don't need to discuss that. You know, that's a separate thing. And they're trying to
yeah.
tie that all together, but they haven't been able to do so, right, as of yet, and maybe they never will. What I want to look at are the other 18 individuals who were indicted in order to come to Georgia. Plus, after that, I want to talk about the Georgia jail. It is under federal investigation for it's crazy. There's been so many deaths in that jail within this year. But first of all, I want to get to this whole thing. The other individuals, what's his last name? Floyd? Okay. I forgot his first name. But he could make bond. Let me figure out his first name. Janet, do you recall his first name?
Harrison.
No, but is that the one that got in trouble because he assaulted somebody when they were trying to serve him for the federal?
He is
yeah,
the FBI
Harrison
agent.
Ford.
So, right. I can't. I'm trying to pull it up. But, yeah.
Harrison.
So he's got two
Harrison.
Charges. So I'm pretty sure his bond. I'm sorry.
Harrison is it?
Did somebody
person.
Say something? Harrison, okay, Harrison Floyd. But yeah, okay, so this guy, right? And some folks said, "Oh wow, they hold on to the black man in there." I'm like, "Well, no, they said no. He's got another charge on him, and assaulting an officer can bring some heavy charges, right?"
Yeah.
And then there was a black woman. Okay, well, she's being charged for violating the RICO law. She did bond out. I think hers was like $75,000 around there, you know what I'm saying? But, and by the way, Donald Trump went through a bail bondsman. That's interesting in itself. But when you look at this this whole thing with Floyd and everything, I'm thinking back to what Timon said, is that I believe it was Timon who said this, is that where there will be some negotiations made as far as the charges in order to flip the script and have them testify against the president, right?
Right.
I think he's on point on that. I think he's definitely on point on that. See, once you bring them all in, go ahead and go through the process and then talk to them like, hey, you know what? You got to come forward. If you want to say that you have nothing to do with it, because it's just like, you know, where you can go to court and you have a choice to do a settlement or go to trial. If you do a settlement, deal with that. But if you push to go to trial, you might get more damn time. Follow me? We see it all the time. You might be like, oh, okay, so you want to take this all the way to the damn courtroom with a jury and everything? All right. But once we go through it, you setting yourself up to do probably more time. Am I right, Officer Crenshaw?
Oh yeah. You're going to if the taxpayers have to foot your trial bill, they're going to try to give you as much time as they can possibly give you for the inconvenience.
Exactly. So I believe that is true. That where the way they're operating it. Is that, you know, they have to go, you know, through the process. In fact, the taxpayers already did pay for it. You think about 19 people have to come into Fulton County, Georgia, under security, escorted to the jail, not a courthouse like the Taft indictments were, but they were escorted to a jail. They had to get fingerprinted, photo op, all that stuff, escorted out of Fulton County to the airport and go back. And Rudy Giuliani said that, hey, look, I'm broke, but he came in on a private jet. How did that happen? That's a question. I'm broke. Maybe Donald paid for it. I don't know. But that's the thing. Exactly.
Well, maybe his house got sold because he's supposed to sell his house for $6.5 million in New York in order to pay for legal fees.
Maybe. And then he went to Mar-a-Lago to beg Donald Trump for some money, too. Keep in mind, he's in debt. There's no doubt. He's in debt. He's in debt to the mother and daughter. He's in debt to the mother and father. I'm sorry, the mother and daughter that he, you know, really disrespected, called them, you know, something about drug dealing and lying, this, and that, and the other, and they sued, and he has to pay them now because they found that that is not true.
Mike. The sister.
Tulsi got $1 million suit from the lady.
Hold on, Janet, just a minute, because Hyman did start speaking first. Then you can follow up. Maybe it's a delay, but go ahead, Hyman.
So the sister and the brother, they were the ones that threatened the two black women. They were the ones that did that. That's why. And she was a publicist for Kanye West, okay? The reason why they had put a warrant against him, he attacked. When they went to serve him that warrant, he attacked the FBI. That's why they wanted to get him. So he already had a warrant for his arrest, and that's why he's still in jail. The brother, that's why the brother's still in jail. He ain't out, okay? He's got to stay in. And the sister, I don't know if y'all saw her mug shot, but she's sitting there smiling because they think this is a joke. But they don't understand. Funny is getting ready to stick their ass. She's going to stick every last one of them. So they need to understand Trump can't save them. Trump is about Trump. He ain't about none of them. So they need to get ready to understand what's about to go down.
Now, Janet, go ahead. The mic is in your court. What we're going to elaborate on and share with us.
Just what Kyman just said. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So.
Okay, but let him say it because he did speak first. He spoke up first. But I'm just saying, you know, just let him say it, and then because he did speak up first. Okay, right. But he was speaking. But anyway, okay, so. Let me take a look at something else here. The young lady you were just talking about, Timon. Now she's had a couple of businesses. She's been a publicist and everything. She had some controversial businesses where she had shops because she had like fashion type stuff, right? African American woman. She had stuff that had some pretty odd things in her displays as far as in front of her stores where there was like body parts and blood and everything and certain messages and everything. But that's her thing. Now, you mentioned the fact she was smiling. She wasn't the only one smiling. There was another individual. I think her last name is Willis, too, or close to that. She smiled. Those are the only two that smile in their mug shots. What's you guys thoughts about the mugshot of Donald Trump, though, the former president? What do you think? Do you think that that's just his normal look, or was he intentionally making it look like he was upset and angry?
No, that was a strength move. That's a strength move that they told him to do, that you don't bend to what's going on. So they told him that. Yeah, that's a strength move. So as he does this, Mike, as you notice, he used all of that. Now he's selling merch. The problem is that the American public, who is backing him, all the Trump supporters, and all of the six who raised their hand during the debate, okay, they are perpetrating a lie. That man cannot be put back in office. democracy will go into the toilet. This man has made a mockery of our American justice system. They are planning to destroy everything that's going to go down. So, you know, I'm telling you, if he gets anywhere near the White House, when Jack Smith is done with his investigation, the Trump family's going to jail. They're going to jail for espionage. They're going
that's
to jail
right.
for selling secrets. And all the 19, you're going to see all these people start dropping dime on each other left and right because they know what's coming down the pike. You're getting a double whammy. You're going to get hit. Remember, they're going to get him in Washington, D.C. That sister that's in Washington, D.C., going to light his ass up. You got homegirl that's still in New York. You got Bragg in New York. They going to hit this dude because if we don't get rid of him, I'm telling you what he's going to do to this country. He's already exposed everything. And you're right, Mike. He is trying to delay. And they are already on to this game. But if they don't stop him, America is done. They're going to kill it from the inside out. So go.
Okay, now.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I want to add, just like I said last week, Jared Kushner has gotten $3.1 billion while he was in the White House. $2 billion of that money came from Saudi Arabia. Then you had $2 million that came from the UAE. You had another $200 million came from Qatar. And that's when those soldiers were killed from the ambush. And Trump was planning on threatened to pull all the troops out and shut the base down because Qatar wouldn't give Jared a loan for his 666 building in New York. You know, and so then they said out of all that money, only 1% came from U.S. donors. All the rest of it came from foreign countries. Ivanka, 18 trademarks from China while she was in the White House. And it was plagiarism because she was forging designers' labels and, I mean, their things that they had created. She was just changing just a little bit, maybe a color or a bow or something, and calling it her own. That's plagiarism. They didn't say a darn thing about any of that. But they're going to talk about Hunter Biden, who shared only $220 million between him and his little partners, and he paid his back taxes. You know, so I wanted just to add that.
Janet, those are the quiet investigations that have been going on. They've been investigating them, and they're quiet about them because they're letting the Republicans show their hand as far as Hunter Biden. But they've already put the apples and apples together. They're being investigated. You can believe that. They're just not bringing it out the way the Republicans are about Biden.
Right. But it's a darn shame that they, you know, feel like they got away with it. They shouldn't have never been in the White House. You know, Donald Trump selling his hotel right after he lost. He ended up trying to sell his hotel, but then Epic stepped in and the deal didn't go through. It's all have been pay to play from the time he stepped in the White House until today.
Okay. So let me roll back a little bit because since all 19 have come here to Georgia, turned themselves into the Fulton County Jail. Fulton County Jail is located at 901 Rice Street, Northwest Atlanta. During this whole thing, I've gone back and forth. I've listened to different, news broadcasts from CNN to Fox News to MSNBC to you name them. I do that because I can't get stuck on one. I have to hear the broadcast, right? I have to hear what they say. Many of them said, this is one of the most notorious county jails in the country. How true is that? How true is that? Is it really notorious? Hold on, I'm not, Janet, I'm not done, please. But when I take a look, because you in California, Timon, don't see this stuff, right? It's not local news. It's local news here. Okay, unless it's a high profile individual that's being taken into custody, then it might come up over where you are. But there's been many of murders in that jail. There has been many deaths in there, not necessarily murders. Young man died, and they found his body there, covered in bed bugs. And he was only arrested for a misdemeanor. I believe it was a traffic violation. And he died in that jail. So that clearly tells you that there's no way in hell other than the brother that's there. And he's probably going through hell. He might be the first one to turn state's evidence because he's still in that jail, an overcrowded jail, a jail that has definitely a problem. And I just saw a video of where, you know, they had a videotape of the attack on one guy and they were stabbing him. Yes, they showed that here locally with makeshift knives. You know, what's your thoughts about that, you know, for the fact that here's Fulton County Jail is now being put on the map just as much as, you know, the thing as far as the 19 individuals. But now a lot of people are talking about the jail in Fulton County, Atlanta, is being put out here and how it is not a safe place. It's under, like I said, federal investigation. But what's been going on is still going on. And how come that's not been addressed by the administration or the leadership of Fulton County Jail?
Well, I can tell you this, Mike, that even though that they're not following the investigation of the jail, every last one of them, who are those 19, are going to be put in that Fulton County Jail if they're convicted. They've already put that out. That's exactly where Trump will be held until they find a spot for him to go. Everybody will go to that same jail. Even though they're under investigation, even though they can, they're claiming that all that's going on, that investigation is still going on of that jail. They can't shut it down. They're going to run the investigation, and they're going to check them out, and everybody's going to have to go through that same jail. That's why all of them are fingerprinted over there at that jail, no matter what they said, what went down in that jail. That investigation has not stopped them on that jail, but those people will be also put in that jail because they committed that crime there. But that's what I'm saying. They're not going to want. That's why they sent them through that jail. So that's when they go
so
to court.
So Fulton County Jail. Fulton County Jail. I'm sorry. I was going to ask you a question.
Ahead.
So you're saying that Fulton County Jail will supersede, you know, the other cases, the case here. Will supersede all the other cases. But don't you have to see it in a sense, or have you considered what order these are? Because right now, they're still trying to figure out who goes first.
Well,
so
Chesbrough is going first because he wants to get his done. If you notice, everybody wants to go early. The reason why they're letting them go early is because these people, one, don't want to go to jail. A lot of them are going to lose their law licenses for committing the crime that they did. So they're trying to get their stuff done. That's why they want to get it moved to a federal court. But it's not going to get moved to a federal court. It's going to stay exactly where it is because that's where the crime was committed, was in Atlanta. So that's under Atlanta law. And also, if convicted, you have to do a minimum 5 years in prison. There is no parole. You have to do 5 years. So they're going to sing like chickens. You hear me? All of them going to drop down.
Okay. Janet or Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, Carmen's right about that, but they don't supersede the other indictments. What Timon is saying is once the Fulton County indictments go to trial and they are convicted because of the Fulton County, then they'll have to spend time in Fulton County jail. Some of them might already be being held in another jail in another state somewhere if convicted, which means when they get released from that state, they get transported to Fulton County. Now, Fulton County has its reputation because the federal prison here is overcrowded. The state prison here is overcrowded. So, of course, that makes Fulton County overcrowded. And that dude, Harrison Floyd dude, he's under watch right now. He's under watch because they can't afford for anything to happen to him to where the attorneys try to flip it and say that he was coerced and forced.
Mm.
So he's under watch right now.
I can agree with that. Right. I can definitely agree with that. Wow. This is really an interesting. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, I just wanted to say a lot of, like Sheriff's Bureaus, a lot of them want to move it to the federal, but if they weren't working under the capacity of what was supposed to be legal, then there's no chance in hell that it's going to be moved to a federal court because they feel like if it gets there, they can get it thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's why everybody's jumping the gate. Not everybody, but some of them want it moved, like Mark Meadows, for instance. He was not working under the capacity of anything that was legal for the President of the United States. A coup, an insurrection is not legal.
Okay.
Well,
true.
That in his mind, through the direction of whoever he received his orders from, in his mind, he could actually believe that. But they're going to prove to him that your job description doesn't allow you to do these different things. Therefore, you wasn't working, you know, in the capacity that you thought you were. If you're a flower cutter, you know, and you're going to cut flowers, don't mean you can actually put your hand in the mud and the mulch and spread the mud and the mulch, too. Just cut the damn flower and then leave.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm looking up something here. If anybody else want to add something else to this topic.
What Janet was saying about the ones that are Sidney Powell and Cheeseborough that are asking for
a speedy trial.
A speedy trial.
Well, that was.
They're trying to find out exactly what all Fonny has.
That's right.
You know, so it's a two-player card game. Right, it's a two-player card game. If you can't give me a speedy trial, you have to dismiss my charges.
That's
but if you can give me a speedy, if you can give me a speedy trial, now Trump and the others get to see what you have so they can plan and prepare for it.
Yep, and that's their goal.
Okay. Let me
you know,
just
I
real quick.
Girl
back
really
now. Funny.
Go
ahead, Janet.
Go on. No, I just wanted to add that I don't think Cheeseborough thought that Fonny was prepared, but she done had all this time to get it together, you know? So he was trying to pull like a whole card, a peep card, or whatever you want to call it, and she called his bluff because she came right back with saying, yeah, We don't have to do it in November. We can do it October the 23rd. Sooner than when he knows.
Okay. We can push it forward. Right. Hey, you guys, I'm just going to drop this drop real quick, and then we're going to come back. I definitely have to shift gears because it's going on 7 p.m. Eastern time. So, this could be an ongoing conversation for the next hour, but we have to shift gears. So we'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
All right. Thank you, St. James, for that drop. And St. James is going to be coming back not too distant future. He's got a lot of great new music popping up on there. But, okay, you guys, we're back. Welcome back for all you listeners to the TMGS. I see Bring It Boy has just dropped into the chat room. Time is now 6:50 p.m. on the East Coast. So that would be, what, 3:50 on the West Coast? I guess so. And whatever the time is in another part of the country or the world, I do not know. All right, so let's move on to another topic here because I think it's interesting. I'm trying to pull it up, you guys, so bear with me. Oh, the plane crash in Russia. Is it Wagner of Prigozhin? Okay. You know, he's the one who started the whole thing against Putin, and he was traveling around this and the other, and mysteriously, or somehow, the plane he was in, along with a few of his other military guys, crashed recently in Russia. So it says, Belarusian president says, he warned Wagner boss Prigozhin twice to watch out. Now, they said, they were trying to say, well, was there an explosion within the aircraft already on scene? They said that's impossible. They're looking at that might have been a ground-to-air missile that took it down. And I don't know if you guys follow these things, but I'm just going to run a little bit by. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko has said he warned Wagner chief Yevgeny Prigozhin twice to watch out for threats to his life. Quote, the first time was when I phoned him and negotiations were talking place while they were marching on Moscow. Lukashenko told reporters, and this is what he told reporters. I told him, do you understand that you will doom your people and will perish yourself? He had just come back from the front on an impulse. He said, I will die then, damn it. So if you guys are understanding this, if you don't understand it, then fine, listen. But you know that there was a possible coup against the Kremlin, right, Janet? And this individual was leading it. So he was bouncing around here and there, here and there. Now, this guy was very powerful. He had thousands upon thousands of troops who would do whatever he asked them to do. Just a few days ago, the plane he was on crashed. And it crashed in Russia airspace. On Russia land. Now that should tell you right now, during this investigation, if Vladimir Putin had anything to do with it, we ain't going to know the truth. I'll just tell you that right now. We're not going to know the truth. Do you agree, Janet?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree because Putin, when Lewinsky, whatever his name is, when he was first marching to towards Moscow, and when he stopped and turned around, because in the process of him marching, he took down helicopters and a few planes, and then when Putin got on the stage, on the air, and said, told the soldiers, his soldiers, that they can join his forces and nothing was going to happen to him. And, so they can just go on and just not have nothing to worry about. Everybody knew that was a lie, you know. That's
okay.
why none of them joined the forces, you know. And we
okay.
knew it was just a matter of time for Putin to take them out. And that's just what happened.
Okay, so let me say this before anybody chimes in. I see there's a person here on the board, as I mentioned. Bring It Boy is here. I'm going to read Bring It Boy. Says hello, Mr. Gay, and hello, Janet. Also, if he is present, Officer Crenshaw. Okay, thank you, Bring It Boy. Then I have a person that's waving their hand, 301-919. I do believe I know who it is, so I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic. Welcome to the show, my sister. I believe it's my sister.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Yes. Hey, Michael Gay. Hey, co-host. I just wanted to chime in and say that you guys are doing a wonderful job. I learned a lot about politics and just a myriad of subjects while listening. And that's really what I wanted to say, just give you guys kudos and to keep going.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And while you're here, do us a favor. Let us know what you got going on tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay. So on Intro to Info, we have a female canine trainer out of Washington, D.C., and we are lit. We are excited for this show. But in the meantime, I'm cooling out listening to y'all.
All right. Appreciate that drop. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. So I think that Timon had a response to that. And Officer Crenshaw, you can follow up if you choose to. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead,
Timon. They already know. That's Putin's trademark. He took Homeboy out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to know. They don't have to know that who did it or how they did it or whatever. They know Putin took Homeboy out. They already knew that he had to go because he figured out Putin's game and told him because he remember Wagner did all the work for Putin. But
mm-hmm.
he wasn't,
mm-hmm.
and he was letting Putin know that, hey, man, you can't keep this up. And if you don't give me what I need, hell, we'll come. I'll get my boys to come on you, right? So
mm-hmm.
he decided, if Doodle, because remember, that dude marched into Moscow with his boys. He was coming to tell Putin,
mm-hmm.
hey, man, I know your game. I know I got so Putin's like, oh, wait a minute. I can't have two. I can't have, it's only enough room for one boss. And I can't have you challenging me because you're going to make me look like who else is going to come out and get me. So I got to take you out. And so Putin took him out, just like he locked up the dude that's in prison right now. So I got to lock that
mm-hmm.
cat up because he can talk to the people also. Putin rounded up guys from out of prison to go fight his war. He even told either you go to war, I'm going to execute your ass. So Wagner brought his boys in. That's why he was also contacting a guy over in Belarus. Talking about if they come that way, y'all need to understand. So he sent a message to everybody, you can go do what you want to do. I will find a way to get rid of you. And that's all it is. So America already knows, just like we knew that just like Trump knew that Khashoggi was going to get killed. And they handed Khashoggi over to the Saudi Arabians, even though that way, if you want that $2 billion, you need to make sure we get Homeboy. And they walked him right into that restaurant, knowing damn well that dude was not coming back out of that restaurant once they sent him over there and they got their money. And it was over. And they know the same thing about Putin. It's the same game.
Right, but go ahead, Janet, and I'll respond, but go ahead, Janet.
But Bogosian was upset over the generals that Putin had called himself leading the army, and because they weren't doing what they were weak and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and he was very upset about it. And he had asked several times for ammunition, different things, and they weren't really providing it. But he was the one that was causing them to win the war. As far as the defense and everything. So he was showing his might.
Okay, so next week, what I want to get into next week, I want to make sure that we have a topic regarding mind control because that's really what's happening. think about it, there's a lot of mind control that's going on from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 individuals. I mean, if you look at North Korea, you look at, you know, other countries, it's where you look at what happens even here, what's happening right now, mind control. Even with Donald Trump,
right.
Mind control. Let me finish. Look at, we've brought up this name before, Jim Jones. If we look at, if I called Officer Mason, and you look at what happened in Waco, Texas, mind control. So how weak is the human mind? And how powerful one person can get hundreds, just hundreds, thousands to millions of people to believe what one person tells them. Isn't that amazing?
I'll tell you, Mike.
Isn't that amazing?
If you want to know.
Even though it's wrong, the people are willing to go ahead and believe one person, even though they know it's not true. Go ahead, Tyler.
I'll tell you, it's called propaganda. And the way propaganda works, it goes back to a dude by the name of Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays is the king of advertisement. Propaganda, the euphemism for propaganda, is advertising and marketing. You have to get people to buy in. So how do you do that?
Right.
So when they started World War One was started because they used the people. They remember, America was against, they were anti-war before they got into World War One. So they used it. They used regular, everyday people and sold them on democracy and that communism was coming to take over America. So when they, at peacetime, the same way, you use propaganda to sell people, sell whether you was doing the Iraq War, whether you're doing what you asked, well, what is Trump doing right now? You have to be able to sell it the same way you sell a product to the regular consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sell them on it.
True.
So Trump came in and played on and said, oh, look what they're doing to you. So if they come after me, that means they're coming after you. You hear me? If they come after me, if they'll do it to me, oh, they're going to do it to you too. Knowing damn well. And Lyndon B. Johnson stated that if that white man don't care nothing, don't care nothing about no policies. He don't care about schools. He don't care about anything. I just want to make sure that I'm better than that brother. Okay? And so if I can get you to sell, I can pick your pocket. And the Americans have been getting their pocket picked for many years by the messages that have come out of folks. That's how Jim Jones did his. That's how Hitler did his. All you got to do is pure propaganda, man, and you play on the emotions. I sell you on emotion. I don't sell you. I sell you your desire.
Yeah,
I don't
tell
you what you need.
Right.
I sell you a desire of what you want, and that's how you get people to believe in what's going on. And that's
right. Okay, so here's the thing.
No,
I have to say this.
It's just selling.
Go ahead. Okay.
It's not the mind control. You know, it's what I sell. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I get that. Okay. So now you clarify that, and I believe that you're definitely on point. Here's what I look at is that where you can go into many of churches and you see where it says, "This I do unto you." Right. Don't you see that? Am I wording that right? You know, whenever it comes time to. When it comes time for when you eat the cracker and you drink the juice and everything, okay, and some churches have these words, this I do unto you. Am I right? Okay. Now listen to what Donald Trump said. I did this for you. Okay. He said he did everything he did as the president at that time. Everything he did as far as even his criminal tactics that he's been indicted for, he's basically saying, this I did for you, right? And
well,
as Tyler just said, excuse me?
said I did nothing wrong. He said I did nothing wrong.
Right, but he also said, but he also said everything he did it for MAGA, his following. Did he not say that? You can pull it up. Yes, he did. He said that. Everything he's done it for, you know, the American people. I've done this for you. He said that. Okay. So the reason why I brought that up, because based on what you just said, that's interesting how you put that all together. I find that very interesting because it's the propaganda, as you said. It's selling the story, selling the product. And a lot of folks say, oh, Donald Trump is crazy. Let me finish for a minute. Everybody says that he's crazy, he's stupid. But remember, in the beginning, no one thought he had a chance of being the president. No one thought he did. When he first said he was going to run, no one thought he had a chance, including me. I was like, oh, my God, a celebrity trying to be president? Maybe mayor, governor of your area, but not president of the United States, especially with the background that you already have. You already have a shady career in business. But what does that tell us about us as people? What does that say about us as people? That's what I'm wondering. He's still high in the polls. And no matter how much of he's being, from the indictments, the charges, over 90-something charges, 18 other cronies being forced to come to Atlanta, get fingerprinted, mugshots and everything, he's still high in the polls. There's something really wrong with this country at this point in time, in my opinion. Well, we're really accepting the bullshit. Go ahead.
If you say the right thing at the right time, people will believe it. You're right as far as mind control. Timing's right as far as propaganda, because how many of us that wasn't on that plane actually believe Prigozhin is dead? You're talking about a man He's known Putin for over 20 years. And he knows what Putin's capable of. Do you really think he was on that plane? But because they let us see the plane fall, we're supposed to believe, but the bodies are unrecognizable? I don't believe the man is dead. I think it was negotiated between him and Putin that he fake his death. For the simple fact, his men were more loyal to him than they were to Putin. And if they had an inclination that Putin took out their leader, they've already saw how far they can get. Imagine how far they could get when they don't know they're coming.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say this. That has been a conspiracy theory, right? That has been discussed because so far, and you know, we can't get, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse, as they say, right? So far, DNA will say who's there or whose bodies are there. All right.
DNA can be fake.
Unrecognizable.
He couldn't put him in prison, because if he put him in prison, his crew is going to retaliate against the prison system. He couldn't kill him. So I think they worked out a fake, this is just me now, a fake death thing to make it appear. Because think about it. If Putin had killed him, you know, if he shot him down or had him blowed up, how would he have the balls to send condolences to his family?
Okay. Well, okay, so hold on. Answer or share what I have to do, and then or what I want to say, and then Janet, you can chime in. And everybody else can. Then I want to definitely read what Bring It Boy is sharing in the chat room. Thing is, you're definitely on point, because that is a question. Was he really on that plane? That has been a question. it goes back to, like I said, I don't think we're going to get the truth, because had that happened in let's say if that plane crashed here in the United States, of course they're going to retrieve all the bodies, even though they're not physically recognizable, DNA is there. Depending on how charred the bodies are, but there's a way to find DNA. Technology is so amazing now. Okay, I mean, you know, your body can burn, but your dental records share a whole lot about you. Okay, so it's but it's at the point of where this is happening in another country, and we cannot tell them or I mean, we can ask them, hey, can you do a full DNA look? You know, on all the bodies. I don't know what their process is. I don't know if they would do what we would do here. I already don't know. Now, him being an enemy to Putin at one point, I don't know what Putin will allow. That's a dictatorship country, not a democracy. So we can't really hold our breath and think that Putin is going to do the right thing. He's going to do what the hell he want to do. Had it been here, got to go by the law, right? Got to do a full investigation. But that's a dictator, you know, there in Russia. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. Now, the last part I want to say is this, is that where Bring It Boy has been responding, I want to bring some of Bring It Boy's responses here in the chat room. And this is going back to some of the other stuff that we're talking about. So I'm going to go back to MK Ultra Mind Control. U.S. government has the patent for mind control. Caller, Bravo, mic drop. So I'm not sure who Bring It Boy was sending that to. What was his criminal tactics? And I guess he's asking as far as Donald Trump. And also says, I knew he would win. All right, so Bring It Boy, you're going to have to go ahead and clarify that. In the order that you put it, but I will try to read your responses on time during when you post them, so you know we catch up to what you're responding to. All right, is that cool? Cool. Okay, so with this whole thing, that's interesting that you said, you know, we don't know if he's really dead. It could be where he's alive. That's true. It's not the first time I've heard that. It's not the first time I heard a person say, how do we know he's dead? You're right. It could be something that was put, you know, together to fool us and others. It's possible. But until they do a full DNA look on the bodies that were recovered, and when Pogozhin, I think that's how you say it, but when they come across a body and they can verify it is his, but then again we're not sure if they're telling us the truth, right? But then again we don't know if they're telling us the truth. You know, it's going to still be a mystery in a sense. If they can actually say, yeah, this is his remains after a fiery crash. Remember, there was a lot of speculation of that whole thing. At first, there was, and I'm gonna say this and let you speak in. At first, there was folks saying, oh, it could have been an onboard explosion. But already they said it's impossible that it was an onboard explosion. And then when they showed the wreckage, they showed that it looks like it was probably a ground-to-air missile, because they showed shrap metal going into parts of the plane. So I can believe that it was shot down, not that it just exploded on its own or there was some problem with the engine and, you know, it crashed because of that. So it was shot down. There's no doubt. Go ahead.
I just think he was smarter. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think he was a little bit smarter than to get on a plane knowing that Putin had already called him, you know, for treaties. said he was a traitor, knowing that once he's in that plane, even if he was standing there talking to Putin and got on the plane, that it could have been shot down. He's a little bit smarter than that to get on a plane to where he has no control over anything.
You got a good point. You brought a good point because the thing is, he's known the man for over 20 years. He's seen what he's done. He's aware of a lot of stuff that Putin has done. He knows Putin's tactics. You got a good point there, Crenshaw. So he, and again, as you just said, he probably said, you know what, I'm going to play like I'm getting on this plane. This is hypothetical because I know how he operates. But I'm going to slip out the back door and see what happens. They're like, oh, yeah, your ass is general killing me. See what I'm saying? You know, he knows him. He's worked with him. He knows his man's mindset. So you might be right. He could be alive. But I doubt that we will find that out to be a fact. Now everybody want to be quiet.
Well, you tell us to be quiet.
No, I didn't say that right there. No, I said let everybody speak in truth. That's what I said.
I need to say something. Yeah, that phrase that you were saying that you see in church is do unto others as they would do unto you. So you treat people the way you want to be. It's Matthew 7:12, in case anybody wants to know. And I also see that Prigozhin could have pretended that he got on that plane to see what Putin was going to do. He knew he was a marked man. From the time he marched, he knew it was just a matter of time. You know?
Okay. Let me ask you this. What is it that people do on Easter Sunday when they go to church? What do most Baptist churches do, even Methodists do, on Easter Sunday?
Sunday? Me or Dan?
Normally.
Or whoever want to ask.
It's what now?
Me or Janet or whoever want to answer.
You can answer.
Okay, because you know I'm going to be silly. What they normally do is, bring it, boy!
Okay, that's not the answer I was looking for, but okay, I'll laugh at that one. But honestly, what really happens most of the time on Easter Sunday?
Well, on Easter Sunday, normally people talk about everything that happened when Jesus was died and that he rose, you know.
Right.
So.
Okay, so maybe I'm getting the day wrong, but I know you all know when you break the bread and you drink the wine, right? When does
that
happen?
That's not Easter Sunday.
Oh,
that's the first
communion.
Okay. First Sunday.
Communion. Okay,
first
okay.
Sunday.
I said Easter Sunday.
Communion.
Okay, I apologize. Communion, right. Okay, so with communion, I've seen in some churches where it says on their front of their church, some churches, it says, this I do unto you. Have you ever seen that?
No, I do unto others. And Michael, I just looked it up.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up. So I can clarify. I don't want to sound like a dummy, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
No, I think you're getting something wrong.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at that.
During communion, they talk about the Last Supper when Jesus broke the bread and drank the wine. And he talked about the wine was his blood and the bread was his flesh.
Correct, was his body, his flesh. Right.
Some of the pastors might say, this I give unto you. As they're breaking the bread.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know I wasn't too far off, but okay, I apologize. Okay. Excuse me. All right, so with all that going on, and I'm glad that Timon's still listening in. I know Timon normally only has an hour with us, but before he leaves, I'd like for him to
give his last words before he has to run, because I know he's a busy man. Real quick, just going to go ahead and run down a couple of things that Bring It Boy has said, has posted. I had just changed my battery and my fire alarm in my house. Sounds like someone can use my experience. Be happy to ship it to you, or if willing, fly me there and I can change it for you for real. Come on now, Bring It Boy. We praise the Lord. Right. Okay. Thank you, Bring It Boy. Bring It Boy is talking about his dog and his fire alarm. All right. Appreciate that information. But you're willing to fly here to change it out? Okay. If you're going to pay for the airfare, Janet, do you need the battery changed in your fire alarm system? Bring It Boy said that he will fly here. He or she. I don't know if it's the husband or wife.
He wants somebody to fly. No, I got an electric fire alarm. It's already wired in.
Yours is hardwired.
But, Michael, it's still this I do unto you as I do unto others. It's still the same thing. It's still the same thing. So look it up, Matthew 7:12, when he broke bread, the community.
But that's what I'm saying. I have been in many churches that have that particular wording on the front of their, how should I say it, their podium, I see it in churches. So I'm like, okay. And normally you see that during the time that, you know, that particular thing is done. All right, so let's change topics because the time is now 7:21 p.m. And I want to go into this that you shared with me, Janet, about the – oh, no, wait. Before I do that, something that I saw earlier today, and I think we need to chime in on this because this is interesting. This really bothered me. I'm just going to be honest. It really bothered me. Bob Barker passed away, you guys. Did you know that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bob Barker passed away. No, it bothered me because I went to Price is Right one time with an individual that I used to date, and she passed away. She committed suicide. That hurt my heart really bad, but her and I went to Price is White. Right. It was an all-day experience for a 25-minute recording. Think about it. Let me read this real quick, and then we'll go into the next thing. Jan, I know we had a lot of other stuff, but this just came up not long ago before we got on air. In his more than 30 years as MC of The Price is Right, Bob Barker changed in only one impeccable way. Is that right? Appreciable way, I'm sorry. He stopped dyeing his hair in the early 1990s, two decades into the game show's long and storied run. Nearly everything else about Barker, his tan and lift looks, his avuncular, avacular ease, with contestants, his witty report with the audience remained the same. Even the CBS set where Price had been taped five times a week beginning in 1972 didn't change much. The same mustard, avocado, and tangerine color scheme, the same Smithsonian-worthy showcase showdown wheel. Barker has died at the age of 99, according to his publicist, Roger Mill. He was just short of 100 years old by a few months, you guys. That's something to me, to be honest. I wanted to throw that in there, you guys, because I know all of us has watched The Price is Right. And you sit up there and watch the television and be like, no, don't bid that. Bid higher. All of you done it. I know I have. Right?
Yeah.
But who took the part of Bob Barker's place?
I'm sorry?
Drew Carey.
Bob Barker's
Drew
place.
Carey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drew Carey.
Mm-hmm. Drew Carey took his place, right. And the thing is that I think his name was Johnny Olsen was the original one. I think he was the original one that would do the introduction, right, for the show. And he just had one of those voices. I was like, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. But, yeah, I just got that information on internet just before the show, and I definitely wanted to bring that up. Barker, you know, he did some acting. If you remember, what was it, the movie with Adam Sandler, the golf course movie?
No, my Bobby Boucher thing. You're not talking about that, are you?
No. This is one of those old movies from way back in the day. It was Adam Sandler. A bunch of other comedians played it. You know how they do movies with a bunch of different comedians in it. But this was one where they were on the golf course and everything. But Bob Barker played in it too.
Yeah, but that wasn't
there
Adam
you go.
Sandler.
It was Caddyshack, right? Exactly. It was Caddyshack.
Adam Sandler was he in Caddyshack, Michael?
Adam Sandler wasn't. It was Bill Murray.
Yeah, that's right.
Bill Murray,
not Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't saying he was there, but Adam Sandler did work with Bob Barker or knew him, and that's what he was sharing on the internet about. Bob Barker, and I guess they were good friends. So, yeah, that just came up just shortly before we went on air, and I just want to, you know, reach out and share that whole thing. And in memory of Bob Barker, and like I said, I was fortunate to go there and be on the show, but it was an all-day process at that time for like a 20-minute recording, really. Got there at 9 a.m. in the morning, walked out at 3:30 in the afternoon. It was crazy. So with all due respect, I want to play this.
You are the first four contestants on The Price is Right. And now, here's the star of The Price is Right, Bob Barker!
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
But much respect to Bob Barker and his family. He was just shy of being 100 years old. Wow. That's big. All right, so, excuse me. The Hawaii fire. We've been hearing a lot about a lot of missing individuals. But more than 100 people have come forward after being listed as missing. That's a blessing. That at least 100 have come forward. What's your guys' thoughts on this? I mean, we already talked about, you know, we talked about it earlier or last week, I guess, about the fires in general, but hearing that 100 people that were listed missing is a great thing to hear. Okay. So that brings that down as far as the death toll or the expected death toll, right? Hopefully more folks will, hopefully, prayerfully, more folks will show up and say, oh, no, I'm here. There's lawsuits that are starting to start up, right, against the electrical company. Do you guys know, and if you know enough, if you know the history of it, because what I want to do is take a look at it. Whenever storms like this come into regions, and of course, Hawaii has not really experienced that as much as maybe a Florida, is it normal for them to bring down the or shut off the electricity when those type of storms come? I'm not aware of it, but are you guys aware of it, and do you think that's the best thing to do? Is that where, because it's a possibility that power lines can be, you know, knocked down and start or spark major fires at this level. What's your thoughts, Janet?
I think it should be a wise decision, because if it's a drought and it's dry and a spark can happen, that's when the fire you know, that's what happened in Hawaii. It was the wind that blew a lot of tree down, that took a power line down, and the fire started.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a precaution, I would.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you can't put out electrical fire with water. You just can't, and that's dangerous, right? You spraying water, let's say your power line falls and starts a fire, and that power line is still active, and there's water there, and you're standing there, you could be literally electrocuted. You could become a barbecue. You know, and so here's what's going on now is there's a lawsuit, as I already said. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts? Do you think that, I mean, as I just asked, Gannett already had said, do you think that there should be a practice on this? Because, again, they said that the horns didn't go off, okay? No alarms went off. No horns went off to warn folks of the whole thing. But the individual who's in charge of that said the reason why they didn't do that is because it was not a hurricane per se, and that where the fire started was up in the hills, which that's where most folks would try to evacuate to, but they would have been going into where the fire was.
All right.
Well, yes, it should be common practice. I've been to Hawaii, just like, you know, overseas in Korea, and when they have monsoons come through, they normally shut the power down just because. Even though it's wet, it can still, you know, from the monsoon coming through, it still can create a fire, you know. And the sirens still should have went off, not just so much because of monsoon or typhoon, but as a form of alertness, awareness. Let them run outside and decide where they want to go from there. If I run out the door and I go exit stage left, oh, shit, smoke. Let me go right. Let me decide, but at least give me the option of waking me up out of my sleep so I can decide.
Right. You get a visual of where you go outside and you can see where the danger might be, right? It could be north,
right.
So you're going to go away from the north. Right. I'll follow you on that, right? Interesting. You know, because, of course, the individual who's in charge had quit, but and he stood his ground of saying that, well, no, I didn't want to do that, which I already said, because he didn't want folks to go to the high ground based on the fire because the fire started in the high ground. Again, as I was saying, and I want to go ahead and just give you guys a little bit of what the story says, if you don't mind. Within a day of Hawaiian authorities releasing 388 names of people unaccounted for, allowing the deadly wildfires on Maui, more than 100 of them or their relatives came forward to say they were safe. This is what the FBI said. The agency is reviewing the information provided and working to remove the names from the list. Quote, we're very thankful for the people who have reached out by phone or email, Stephen Merle, the FBI's special agent in charge in Honolulu, said at a news conference. But, quote, as we get someone off of a list, this has enabled us to devote more resources to those who are still on the list. Okay. So obviously there was a little lack of communication at some point, right?
Correct.
I don't know when that list was actually put out. I'm sure it took a while. But then again, that should be priority, right? Not a week, 2 weeks. That should have been priority. Now, locally, and again, remember I'm saying, locally, that should have been put out to everybody on television, news, and everything. These are the folks that we're looking for. So the family members that reported, if they reported a loved one that's missing, you need to do that immediately so they can get on that list and then
the media, whoever, the news and everything, say, hey, we're looking. That those names should have been put out. These are missing folks. But according to what I'm reading and understanding, they didn't put it out there fast enough. That's how come you had 300 and something odd people missing. Right? Mm. So, yeah, there's got to be a better system and a better way to communicate. Yeah, it's got to be. Janet, you have a response on that?
Well, I've been to Hawaii, not Maui, but I did go to Oahu, and I know it had to be devastating for the fire to have happened during a time where it was dry, the plants and everything was dry, you know. So I thought it was like 2 days ago they came up with that list of the people that had came forward, Michael.
Okay.
Maybe I let it.
Well,
down,
you know what?
I'm
thankful and I'm honored that I have the host of a great show on the J. King Network. Miss Makisha Besh is listening in with us. Appreciate her there. Makisha, do you have any questions or comments of the conversation that we're having? Your mic is open.
Oh, hey, you guys. No, again, I come here, I'm just listening. You guys are much more versed in these subject matters, and I'm preparing for my show by listening to such experts, but I don't have any comments here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you chiming in and hanging out with us this evening. I truly appreciate it, my sister. I really do. And by the way, you guys, she gave out the information. Check her out, 9 p.m. Eastern. She has some great guests, great conversations, just like we do. But I really love
Thank
my
you.
Sister. She brings a lot of stuff to my attention and some great guests. So this is what we do.
Say
this is what it's all about.
Tell her to say the number, the phone number.
Oh, yes. So 515-605-9376. I do want to say something, though, that's interesting, that you took me off of mute, Mike, and got me thinking. One of my students is the ROTUS, the receptionist of the United States, and she gave me a tour of the White House yesterday, and I'm just still on a high that I even had the opportunity. I was in the Oval Office. The red room, the green room, the blue room. I saw George Washington's sword. I saw all of the photographs of the past presidents. And it was something that I would have never have done on my own. But just like you say, I taught you things and you teach me things. My students teach me those. You know, she said, you want to come for a tour? I'll let you, you know. And it was just amazing. Seriously.
Wow. Did you see Trump's picture?
That is amazing.
Okay, here's the thing with that. He has not taken his picture yet. So the last person on it is Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Obama. Wow. That's interesting.
Yep.
Now, okay, so you have nothing to do with this, but let's go back to that whole thing. Let's look at the fact that Trump does not go to he does his rallies and everything. He doesn't go to debates recently. No, but he did show up to one, but he did not appear on the stage. And that was the Iowa one, right? The most important one for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Correct? But he shows up anyway.
As a deflection.
They asked him to come on, the stage, and he's like, nah, I'm Donald Trump. I do not debate. I do not want to talk to people, but I will be there. There is being, and being there is being there, and being there. You know how he kind of keeps, like, flips, you know, what he's saying? But anyway, but he did go there, and he got a hold of a microphone in a different area and brought up a bunch of folks to speak on his behalf and everything. That's interesting. But then you would think a person who claims he loves to be in the White House would have taken his picture by now. Because he was a former president. What's the problem with that?
Exactly. And it's like he's holding up the line. Okay.
Probably because he wouldn't have Obama's picture hung up until, and it didn't get hung up until Biden came in office.
Why didn't he go ahead and take his folks and have it hung? What, in my mind, I'm thinking right now, I'm better than all the past presidents. You all don't deserve my folks to be on the
I don't care.
Either way, it doesn't matter. It's not there. He hasn't been the president for a while, and I don't think it takes that long to do an oil painting and put the former presidents on the wall. This guy has a real issue. I think that he feels like, I'm not going to have my photo put up on the wall because you don't deserve me. America loves me. I am Donald J. Trump. I am the one who has saved America. I did this for you, America. I did this for you. And for you, I'm not going to put my photo on the wall. So when you do the tour, I want you to ask, how come my photo's not on the wall? And I know why. I know why, because I'm Donald J. Trump. Yeah, okay, see what I'm saying. But anyway, that's interesting. His picture's not on the wall yet. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I did see the remnant.
Mike, during your impressions, you forgot to pause during your impressions as if you was putting a hot dog in your mouth. You forgot to pause in between.
I have to work on it. I have to work on that part. But you know what it got me was when he spoke with the media after he came out of the Fulton County Jail, he said the same thing three times. He really did. And I was like, okay. And, you know, he said it three times. But again, and I didn't intend to go back to that topic, but look at the taxpayers' money. Did you see that motorcycle group that was escorting him?
Well, that's why I said if he's convicted, if he's found guilty, they need to strip him of the privilege of Secret Service because of espionage and possible treason. If he'll give away the secrets,
then
he doesn't have to worry about anybody trying to kidnap him for the secrets.
Right. I think that should be automatic. Yeah, I think that should be automatic. Because here we're talking about an alleged billionaire. Allegedly, he's a billionaire. Allegedly. We don't know. I mean, he did not share his taxes, right, which has always been the normal for most presidents to share that information. He did not do that. He refused to do that. So the thing is, I think that in all honesty, you know, okay, but all I'm saying is this. He didn't do that. He's the first president since they started doing that. What was it? Since Reagan of sharing your financial information? He said no. So if he's convicted, then at that point, he should be stripped of Secret Service and everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, in my opinion now. Okay? If you're convicted of a crime, the taxpayers should not pay for a convict unless they're behind bars.
On top of that, Michael, Trump has more Secret Service and more police escorts than even any president that I've seen, and I've gone through.
Even the president right now, I know. I looked at that whole thing from start to finish when he went to the airport in New Jersey to when he came to Atlanta, and Atlanta had a hell of an escort. I mean, it must have been about 20 to 30 freaking police motorcycle in front of the motorcade. And that's taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
Now, the question I have, here's the question I have. I would love to see how much it costs, not just for Donald Trump, but even the other individuals. I'm pretty sure they had, some of them, security too when they came to Atlanta. I'm pretty sure of that. They didn't get into no damn Uber or Lyft and go to the courthouse. The jail. Taxpayers' money paid for that. Taxpayers here in Georgia paid for that.
They
okay.
had to pay for their
so
own. Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, they
paid
for
it. They had to get it from law firms to pay for their
Meadows, all of them. All of them. Your tax dollars paid for all that. So
no,
I'm curious.
No, no.
And I'm
no, only Trump, Michael.
Okay, so did everybody come in? So all of them just came in their own personal vehicles or rent a car or what?
No,
only
the attorney's
Trump?
Law firm.
None of them?
The law firms.
Thank you, law firm.
The law firms mm-hmm. set up their transportation and everything.
Okay, good. See, I'm not perfect. I didn't know that, but I'm glad to hear that. But Donald Trump got taxpayers' money, right?
Right.
He's no longer president.
But Michael,
I like to see
him
respect. Can I finish? Please, I'd like to see if that could be, you know, available. We need to take a look at it. How much was that for 20 minutes of him being inside of the jail? He was in there for no more than 20 minutes. Let's look at the dollar amount that 20 minutes pays. Coming and going. Granted, he flew on his own jet. But the security, from the moment he took off from, you know, from New Jersey to Georgia and going back, how much money did it cost the state, federal, whatever, taxpayers? Let's do a research on that and break it down. How do they break that down, though? I'm curious.
It all depends because you're pulling officers, you're pulling motorcade, you're having to pay for gas.
Exactly.
Once you start mm-hmm. adding all that up, you're having to block traffic. So it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the officer's hourly wage, you know, and then the other people as far as coordination, as far as pre-planning for all of that, you know, the routes. All the logistics that go into setting up a secure and safe route, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's a lot of money. It's got to be over $1 million just for that day for him to come in.
Hello. And that's how come I want to take a look at it. I really want to take a look at it. This is a person who is being charged for a crime. A former president.
But innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until
mm-hmm.
proven guilty, and since he is a former president, that's one of the benefits he's entitled to. That's why I said if he is convicted, strip his ass down. He's not entitled to it. He shouldn't have it. Go to prison like everybody else. If he's not convicted, you know, carry on. And what did Luke Skywalker say, may the peace be with you, or whatever it was he said.
The force. Yeah, the force.
Yeah, the force.
Okay. So Bring It Boy had posted, people were fainting. Is it fainting? Fainting when President Trump came through the streets in Georgia as if he was the Beatles screaming, losing the mids. Also, Bring It Boy posts, Biden used some of his slush fund for President Trump's Secret Service. I don't know how true that is, but I'll take a look at that. But the thing is that with this drama going on, you guys, this is ridiculous, in my opinion, okay? You know, if you break the law, it doesn't matter. You break the law. You have to go to court. You have to be tried. Now, whether, you know, the thing is that where being indicted, people are indicted every freaking day, whether they're the president or not, a former president or not, people are indicted. And if they feel like they have enough evidence against you, you got to be tried. Hell, I've been in court before. I've been found guilty and not guilty. I used to do some stupid shit.
I was going to say, it's been
but
a couple
thing
of times,
that,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump. If you're indicted
and charges are brought up against you, you have to go through the system. Otherwise, the democratic process will not make any sense anymore. It will not be followed anymore. It would not be America anymore. So that's all I have to say about that whole thing. I just can't understand why some folks feel like, oh, well, he's in this. He's in this. Well, here's the thing that's going to be interesting about the Georgia case. It can be broadcast. Did you know that? Federal cases can't. State can't. The state cases can be broadcast. And you can actually watch the courtroom. You
right.
can actually watch the trial live. Am I right, Officer Crenshaw?
You are correct in the state of Georgia. Unless the judge decides it's not in the benefit of the court to have it, then he can deny the cameras. But on a normal,
and you know,
it's all recorded on a normal.
But I truly believe, just like O.J. Simpson, many other cases, what they call the trials of the century, this one will be allowed. I'm hoping it will be. I hope that the judge will say, yeah. Because that's what you call, I'm saying that, when it comes down to the question of it being broadcast, that's what you call transparency.
Right. It's going to be the only way to prove to the Georgia people both sides, what Trump's saying.
For America, period.
And what Fannie is saying.
It's not just the Georgia people. It's for America to see the trial in live action.
Right.
For the American
Georgia people, because it was the Georgia election, and instead of them having an uproar down here, yes, the American people will get to see it. But it's more
correct.
So for the Georgia people who still have their doubts about the judicial system and about his prosecution. You know, did he do it? Did he not do it? I'm not going to believe you. You know, they get to see every little bit and piece and determine. You're still going to have some. Oh, they planted that. They made it up. It's fake.
Right.
And then you're going to have
right.
some that go, damn, you know what? That makes sense. I've been duped.
I think that's very important. I hope that in this situation in Georgia, by being a state, not a federal, but a state court, that people are able to actually watch the trial. That is actually play-by-play, as they say, and hear, you know, what's going on. Will Donald Trump, you know, go to the stand? I truly feel like, no, he won't. But then again, maybe he will. Because that's the type of individual he is. I feel like he can sway a jury to believe what he's doing. But the evidence is what's going to be important. Mostly the evidence that the prosecution is going to bring forward. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty, right? And that's what they claim. But some people are proven guilty based on the based on public opinion before a court case. Right.
Well,
this needs to go to
like
court.
With law enforcement, the way they investigate you is they investigate you as if you are guilty based on the accusations, and they're trying to find every little piece of evidence they can to exonerate you. So they don't investigate based on innocence until proven guilty. They do it in the reverse when it comes to law enforcement.
Okay. Well, this is going to be interesting, and I look forward to it. What we have to wait on now is, when will these trials start? Because there's a lot of problems here. Again, I say, four indictments, 91, 90-something so-called charges, 18 other individuals who have to go to court. As I say, this is unprecedented. It really is. You know, and as they always say, let the games begin, because I'm looking forward to hearing these trials and hearing these stories and see who flips and says, hey, you know what, as you said, I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to go to jail. Now, they can't turn around and tell a lie in order to get out of prison or jail. They have to tell the truth. Negotiations are very important when your life is on the line. Negotiations are right. Very important. Because, see, the thing is that whereas you all know, Officer Crenshaw, you know, you've interviewed individuals, detectives have, this, that, and the other, over the years. You've been in law enforcement for over 20 years, of where you already know the truth of it. But you go and ask that person, and they lie to you again and again and again and again. It doesn't make it good when it comes to court time. I think that this is where Fannie Willis is. She definitely has her ducks in a row, and we got to see what the individuals do as far as trying to remove her from her position prior to the court cases and everything. So there's a lot that's going to be going on before we get actual court cases or the time frame of when these trials are going to begin. This is unprecedented. I mean, this is amazing. It really is.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to remove her. They want to, but I don't think they're going to, because you already have some of the people from the Georgia legislation basically stating that they were doing it because they were directed through legal maneuvers, Trump's attorneys or whoever, that this is what Trump wanted done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people are already talking, saying, well, hey, Rudy told me that this is what Trump wanted me to do, so I did it. You know, hypothetically speaking, those that verbiage. You know, so they're already talking because they know they're going to spend, they might not serve their time in Fulton County, but they're going to spend several months there in process. If convicted.
Okay. If convicted, right. So with that being said, you guys, I'm going to go ahead and then shut down the show because of the things that we do have. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to let you guys know something. There's two new shows that are going to be joining the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, and I'm so happy and proud to share this with you guys. Let me go ahead and pull it up. In fact, one of the individuals who's going to be starting our show is listening in live, and we're going to be going over the process of running the board and all that stuff. You guys know how easy or difficult it can be, right, with Blog Talk. So Gwen Ross is tuned in. She's going to have her show starting, let me get it right here, you guys. I apologize. I should have had that pulled up. Where is it at? But no, Officer Crenshaw, you're definitely right. This is going to be an interesting journey in the political aspect. So starting Friday, September 1st at 7 p.m. Pacific time, you guys got to tune into Gwen Ross, Hip Hop Presents the Storytellers. Let me tell you something. I've been knowing Gwen for many years, and she, to be honest, I think she has almost every damn hip-hop artist's greatest hit and some of the songs you probably didn't really listen to. So I'm really looking forward to Gwen joining us and sharing all these great, legendary hip-hop artists and their music with her own show, Gwen Ross, Hip-Hop Presents the Storytellers, Fridays at September 1st, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you'll get more information on my end. So we're working together. Also, there's another gentleman that's going to be joining us. Let me see. trying to pull this up. I apologize that I'm not getting up quickly, but let me see here. Scroll down. Darian Reynolds is going to be starting a new show, After Hours Podcast. It's After Hours with Darian Reynolds, and we're looking at him doing Sundays, okay, Sunday evenings. So, hey, PMGN is really trying to build up. I appreciate these two individuals. Look forward to some great conversations, great music, and I invite each and every one of you to tune in as we keep building more entertainment and education and knowledge, okay? All right, you guys. So with that being said, what's the final thing you want to – oh, wait a minute. I got to take a look here. Oh, okay, Bring It Boy said, great show, night all. Okay, thank you, Bring It Boy. Appreciate you chiming in. Hopefully you'll chime in. Hopefully you'll call in from time to time, but I appreciate you coming to the chat room. Let's see. Officer Crenshaw, what's your final words on the show?
The group that sung the song Smiling Faces, just look out for that on the new GOP candidate.
You know what? I was going to put a song and play it on the show this evening by Steely Dan. Do you remember the song called Hey 19? No, we don't talk together. I was going to play Hey 19. I really was. I might do it next week, but yeah, that's great. And last but not least, I want to see if my sister is still here just to give us a little sign off there. I know she's preparing for an hour away. Make sure you tune in to her show. Lakeisha, are you there?
Yes, guys. Intro to Info will be broadcasting live tonight at 9 p.m. Dial us at 515-605-9376. Great show, TGNN.
All right. Thank you. You guys got it. Intro to Info, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check it out. Great show every Saturday. And you know, I mean, even when they do a replay, I listen to half of it, if not all of it, okay? I mean, so it's great. If I missed it originally, I listen to the rebroadcast because she does have some great guests and great conversations. All right, so we got to get out of here. You guys, please enjoy the rest of your weekend. I've been fortunate. I had 3 days off. I'm dealing with a I'm going through the Walmart Academy. What is that? Well, I got a promotion. Okay, and you got to go to this school for 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to stay awake because you're just sitting there all damn day listening to two people talk to you. I'm like, oh, wake up, Mike. Seriously, it is a trip when you're used to moving around and then you're expected to sit for 8 hours and listen and watch videos and everything. You will fall asleep. So I got to catch myself from time to time. I have to share that. So next week I'll be doing that, and then next Saturday we'll be right back. Next Saturday it will be the beginning of a new month, and in 6 more shows, we will be reaching a landmark here on TMGN of 200 shows as the TMGN Network, 200 shows that we've been doing since we – well, I can't say left the J.K. Network, separated. But, yeah, we're on our 200th show, and I'm so happy. And hopefully we'll have something special coming up. All right, you guys, enjoy the rest of your week, and God bless. This is yours truly, Michael Gay, from the TMGN, the Michael Gay Show, the Michael Gay Network. And we'll see you next Saturday. God bless. Peace.